I'd like to ask the children, come on kids, to come down here and join me in the front for a few moments. Any children in the congregation are invited to join us as well, so that I can get to know these beautiful children of St. Peter's. Come on up, sweetie. And come and just kind of sit around here, guys, okay? I think the floor isn't too dirty, so you can sit right down. It should be cool. Great. How are you today, darling? What's your name? Maggie. How pretty. Well, my name is Bishop Michael. When I came in this morning, you may have noticed that I was wearing this hat. It's not my birthday today. This isn't a Burger King hat. It's actually called a mitre, and it's a hat that bishops wear. It reminds us of the Holy Spirit. And two Sundays ago, we celebrated the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us about it. It says Jesus' disciples were praying, and the Holy Spirit came like a great wind, and little flames of fire rested over the heads of the apostles. So this hat is shaped like a flame, see? Like the flame of fire. Because one of the jobs of the bishop is to be an apostle. You okay, buddy? You can go back. It's okay. Apostles teach about Jesus. Apostles take care of the church. One of the ministries of the bishop is to be an apostle. So we wear this apostle's hat, this fire hat, to remind the church that we pray for the Holy Spirit to give us words to speak and wisdom to share. Deacon Jim, could I trade you a hat for a stick? By the way, this is called a mitre, M-I-T-E-R. And they come in different colors. I don't happen to have a green one. We're in the green season now, so I wore that gold one. I was also carrying this gigantic stick, cane-like thing. I really don't need it to walk. What does it remind you of? Yes. Yes, a shepherd's crook, something that shepherds use. A real shepherd, sometimes churches have windows with these. You have a window right there, and I can't read somebody close to that window of the bishop. Who is the bishop portrayed? Brent? Bishop Brent. Yeah, he's carrying one of these sticks. Well, a real live shepherd, of course, takes care of sheep. I don't think you have any shepherds here. We have a church called St. Peter's in the Great Valley. It's an old church, and they have a little fenced-in yard by their church building, and they actually keep sheep there. Two sheep live there, and different families in the parish volunteer to take care of the sheep and feed them and so forth. But a real live shepherd has hundreds of sheep, and they use a stick not quite this fancy, just made out of wood, to help them with their work. This end is used for helping. Like if a little lamb fell down a hill, the shepherd could grab it by the leg and pull it up to safety. Or he could push this against the neck of the mama sheep and say, go this way or go that way. The other end of the shepherd's stick is sharp. See, mine is dull, so that I don't cut holes in floors and carpets. But a real live shepherd has to stay awake at night and scare off any wild animals that might come and steal the sheep. So a real shepherd uses a stick like this for their work. I carry this stick because one of my jobs is to be like a shepherd, a pastor, to take care of God's people, and that's you. Now, we have 138 churches in our Diocese of Pennsylvania and about 30,000 Episcopalians. it would be impossible for the one bishop to take care of all those churches and all those people, wouldn't it? So each church has its own shepherd, its own pastor. Who is the shepherd of St. Peter's Church? Koshy, yes. Father Koshy is your shepherd. He looks after you so that if you get sick and go to hospital, he would come and say a prayer with you. He's also got some helpers, the deacons, Deacon Joe and Deacon Dennis. They might come and pray with you too. And they do teaching and lots of other good things. So together, they are the shepherds of this parish. Bishops are apostles, bishops are shepherds, bishops are teachers, bishops have an office, life, do business, all of these things. And my helper here today is Deacon Jim. He is like a deacon like Dennis and Joe, and they help people in the world as Dennis and Joe do here. They help feed hungry people. They help people who need things. They do lots and lots of things in the world to help people. Deacon Jim works in Chester, and he helps children learn through learning programs, after school programs, lots of different ministries. Well, Maggie, is that your name? Could you hand me that big bear right beside you? I brought my teddy bear with me this morning. Some of you may have met him. His name is Basil. He's named after a great saint in the church who lived a long time ago. And I named my little bear Basil because the real Basil said once in a sermon, "Church, take care of the children. Take care of the children." So, because my little bear talks to the children of the diocese, he has that name, Basil. How many of you have a teddy bear or a stuffed animal? Good. Great. I want you to always remember your little stuffed animal friends. Even when you get to be a big teenager and think you're too old to have a stuffed animal, just put your stuffed animal up on a shelf. And then later in your life, you'll look up one day and say, "Oh, there's my old teddy bear. I've been missing him." You know, teddy bears or other stuffed animals, we may sleep with them. So if you have a bad dream in the night, you can just reach over and hug your bear. And it'll make you feel better and you can go back to sleep. Or sometimes if you have something on your mind, and you need to talk to somebody, but there's nobody around to talk to, you might even talk to your stuffed animal. They give us comfort. This little guy was made to share hugs. So you open your arms, he opens his arms, you give a hug, and he gives you a nice hug back. So we pass him around and take a hug while I tell you why I bring my teddy bear to church. I bring my teddy bear to church because he reminds me of God and God's love. The little bear doesn't say, "Do you deserve a hug? Did you make your bed this morning? Did you clean your room this morning? Did you obey your parents?" The little bear just opens his arms and gives you a hug. That's how God's love is. God just opens his invisible arms and wraps them around us and gives us a hug. And God says, "I will love you always. I will love you always and forever. I will never stop loving you." The Bible tells us, thank you. The Bible tells us in the book of John, that's the fourth book of the New Testament, God loved the world so much that he sent his only son, Jesus. It's like God opened his huge invisible arms and gave Jesus to the world so that we could come to know God better. And then Jesus lived on the earth for 33 years. And at the end of his life, Jesus opened his arms in a great hug and hung on the cross and died. It was an awful kind of death. They put nails through his hands and feet to hang him on the cross. But because he died for us, we get to live forever in heaven. Jesus promised it. And when he was here, Jesus said to his followers, like you, I want you to love one another like God loves you. Now, that doesn't mean we run up and down the streets hugging everybody. We can't do that. But in our house, in our home, we can hug others. If somebody in our home is alone or lonely or maybe crying or upset, we could say, you look like you could use a hug. And when we share a hug with them, it makes them feel better, and it makes us feel better too. Share hugs at home. I recommend it. They're free. They don't cost anything. And they make everybody feel great. Hug. Maybe a penny? Love one another. We love other people by respecting them, by treating them like we would like to be treated. You know, everybody, even people that we think we wouldn't like, we still treat them with respect and dignity. We're going to say that in our, as we renew our baptismal vows in a little while. I'm wondering if any of you children here this morning have a birthday this month. Any of you born in June? When's your birthday?
June 18th.
June 18th. And how old will you be?
Seven.
Seven. And your birthday? June 4th. Just a couple of days ago, right? And how old were you?
Eight.
8 years old. 7 years old. Did you have a birthday in June, sweetie? Anybody else have a birthday in June? Maggie does? Huh? June 2nd. And how old were you on June 2nd?
Four.
Is she your little sister? She's so cute. Is he a nice big brother? Good. Well, the birthday closest to today is June 4th. And what's your name, my friend?
Deacon.
Deacon? Happy birthday, Deacon. Basil would like you to have a little bear all your own. And maybe, Maggie, maybe he'll share it with you, okay? I have a present for everybody. I like to give presents when I go to church. Where did Jesus live when he was on the earth? Anybody know? Phoenixville? No? Where? It'd be cool if he was, yes. Jerusalem, that's the city where he last lived. He was born in a tiny little town called Bethlehem. And it's in the country that we now call Israel. Israel. You've probably heard it on the, about it on the news. They do a lot of fighting over there, unfortunately. Even though it was Jesus' home. We call it Israel or the Holy Land. When Jesus was there, it was called Judea, then it was called Palestine, now it's called Israel. And over in that part of the world, they grow lots and lots of olive trees. Olive trees can live to be very, very old. There is an olive tree in Jerusalem that I have seen that scientists have studied and tell us that it's 2,500 years old. It was there when Jesus was alive. Now it's a huge old tree in the middle of this park where Jesus used to go to pray. Well, Christian people who live in Israel take the olive wood when they have to take a tree down to build a road or a house and carve things out of it for churches, like crosses over the altar. You know the manger scenes that we put up at Christmas time? Sometimes those are carved out of olive wood. And these little crosses, which have been blessed, are carved out of olive wood by Christians in Israel. Christian people living in Israel. They have a little hole in the top, just big enough to put a piece of thread through if you want to make a necklace out of it. Or you can carry it in your pocket or put it on your bed table, so that every time you look at it, you remember how much Jesus loved us. So much that he opened his arms and went to the cross so he could wrap his arms around all the people of the world. That reminds us of how much God loves us too. So there's one for you, my friend. And you. Now, I have lots. And so Deacon Jim will have these after the service. There's one for you, sweetie. And if the child within you would like one, all you have to do is speak to Deacon Jim and he'll see that you get one. And sometimes... Did you get one in the back? I'm sorry. And let's give one to this little girl. And to Deacon. Can you hand one to Deacon there? Super. Some for the grown-ups too, and the other children. Our little friend who didn't like to stay up here. He was shy. He'll have a cross too. Always remember this, my friends. You are an important part of St. Peter's. If you're not here some Sunday, everybody misses you. It's like one of the family is missing. So always do your best to come and be with your family here. And most importantly, remember, God loves you always. God always loves you, and God will never stop loving you. So never let anyone in the world tell you that you aren't loved. Because God always loves you, and always will. Thanks for listening so nicely. And you can go back to where you were sitting, and I'll speak to the grown-ups for just a few minutes. It's not going to be a long sermon. I'll give you that fellow right there. My friends, I speak to you today in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The readings today take us back to Easter and remind us of our challenge to live out the will of God in our lives, remembering that God brings life out of death, as Paul reminds his new Christians in the letter to the Corinthians. It's powerful stuff. Paul says, "We know that the one who raised our Lord Jesus will also raise us and bring us with you into his presence." And Paul also says, "We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Promises of life with God forever. It is a message of life in the midst of death, hope in the midst of despair. We are reminded throughout the Bible of the miraculous power of God to bring life out of death. And I believe that it is in the context of death that the gospel exercises its greatest power. We live in a world littered with the corpses of despair, here and on the other side of the world. Yet there are signs of resurrection everywhere. In the midst of daily reports of natural disasters and terrorists and murders on the streets of our cities, there's always a message of resurrection, if we can hear it. In the midst of all the darkness and despair, how often do we remember that God is still in control? How often do we stop to remember the words of one of my favorite songs? I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. God's eye is on the sparrow, And I know He watches me. God watches over each one of us. These young people today who are confirming and not conforming have helped to teach us to rejoice in the power and eternal love of God, as we heard about in today's gospel reading. In a brilliant teaching moment, Jesus reminds us that whoever does the will of God is His brother and sister and mother, His followers, part of His community. But you know, my friends, sometimes I think we get so busy being the church, following the rules and dealing with our challenges and getting frustrated with one another, that we forget that we're supposed to be doing the will of God. It happens at all levels of church life. But when we hear these words of Jesus today, we are reminded to ask ourselves, am I doing the will of God here and now? Am I building up the kingdom? Am I proclaiming the message of hope and letting God be God? It seems that St. Peter's Church and the people of God in this place are putting Christ's message into action with all the good deeds and programs that you're engaged in, from local projects to helping the poor and the hungry to helping others in El Salvador. These friends being confirmed here today and those being received are committing themselves to being Christ in the world. And they can inspire and teach us to do the same, to be followers and disciples of Jesus the Christ. Together we can help and sustain one another and help others know that we are the Easter people by the power of Jesus' resurrection. We are Alleluia people by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know, don't we, that our God has power to bring life out of death. Life out of death. My young friends being confirmed today, you are signing on with people of hope. You are committing yourselves to the God of all possibilities and the God of the impossible, to the God who has power to bring life out of death through His Son Jesus. And we all celebrate and rejoice in that reality every time we come together to sing and pray and have fellowship with one another and to be fed with the body and blood of the living Lord of life, Jesus Christ. We're sons and daughters of the resurrection and of Pentecost, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and God working in us and through us can accomplish all things and make all things possible. Can it be that one day in a world strewn with corpses, the promise of the gospel will be realized by all people? Only God knows that. But God is counting on each one of us to help bring in the reign of God, the kingdom. And that's another thing where you are signing on for today, my young confirmands, to be kingdom workers, disciples of Jesus Christ. People who bring hope and life to the places of death and darkness and despair in our world. But the good news is that we do not have to do it all on our own. God gives us the love of His Son Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit and the gift of one another to bring in the reign of God and share kingdom life with others. Now God's going to visit us and beckon us to the great feast of the altar. Christ himself invites us to receive his real presence, to nourish us and strengthen us and give us everything we need for kingdom work. All we have to do is come up the aisle and be fed. The gift is free. The love is real. And as children of God, all we have to do is accept and receive it. There's an old hymn that we sometimes sing in church that goes like this. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There is kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner, and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in his blood. There's a wideness in God's mercy, my friends, that we know, and we're called to share that with the world. Our God brings life out of death, and God invites us to be part of that life-giving now and every day of the rest of our lives. So we wish those being confirmed and received today well. We pray God's blessing upon them, that they may go forth to be kingdom workers, reign of God developers, as we bring the kingdom closer, right here in Phoenixville and wherever we live and move and have our being. Amen. Amen.